All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Greg Fitzsimmons, FitzDog, returns. Always funny. He'll hang out, and we'll do some news as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got Nude Mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mails box. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. Adam Carolla's sixth book and audiobook. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
One last thought. The bidet has been around in some form or another for centuries. But these modern toilet seat adapters were pioneered by the Japanese. It occurs to me that no culture needs it less. The Japanese subsist on a diet of cucumber rolls and can boast a hairless ass. Armenians, that's who need the bidet. They've got a diet rich in baklava and goat and have a shag carpet for an ass. Every Armenian asshole looks like the guy Sacha Baron Cohen wrestled with in the first Borat movie. You know that footage you see of kids opening up fire hydrants in New York during the dog days of summer? That's what your average Armo needs his toilet to be armed with.
Everything reminds me of something. Available now, wherever finer books are sold.
Well, FitzDog's not popped up yet. To be fair to FitzDog, August told him that we were taping about 6 hours later than we actually were.
Oh.
There's a thing that people have. It's a pattern problem, which is if you do... By the way, you have to understand people in patterns, and you have to understand yourself in patterns. You know, like if you go, we tape at noon Monday through Thursday, and then at 10 a.m. on Friday, that Friday is going to get screwed up a lot, right? If you're dealing with Mike August. Now, if you're dealing with Nick Santora, Kevin Hench,
please,
or Jimmy
me,
Kimmel,
please, me and, Gina.
And Gina and Brian, it's not going to happen. Well, scheduling, I'm talking about. But if it's Mike, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen a lot. Or more than you'd like it. But it's the same with Dr. Drew and the keys in the refrigerator. Or I'll tell you the number one tip I shall tell my children later today. It's like when you're talking to someone and they go, sometimes they'll go like, hey, can you stir the whatever? I'll be home in an hour. Just start doing it. Mm-hmm. Start to, don't go, yeah, all right. Let me just finish watching Sports Center. Yeah. Or can you... Any bring into work or bring with you while you're on the phone. I used to have conversations with Donnie where I wanted him to bring stuff in, and I'd go, no, do it now.
Please do it
while we're on the phone. Go get it and put it in front of your front door. Like, do it while we're talking. And he'd go, like, yeah, I'll do it when I'm... I'd go, no, before you... while we're... let me talk you through it. Like, go to the closet, get the carpet cleaner, put it by... Also, if people talk to you that way, realize there's a rich...
A yep.
If people say the phrase like, okay, but 7 means 7.
Yeah.
7 is... that doesn't mean 7:15. That means if some people are talking
out.
To you
yeah.
that
yep.
way,
yep.
they had some experience
dealing with you.
I know everyone just thinks you're being an asshole when you talk that way, but it's like, I don't talk that way to everyone. There's three people who I talk that way to yep. because...
But Gita, don't forget your news stories.
I won't.
Just do not forget to bring in the news.
I have
traveled the nation with Dr. Drew. I've done 100 million events with Dr. Drew. I have never uttered the phrase, 6 a.m. is 6 a.m. Like, you cannot be late. This is a live hit. Like, I've never in 25 years spoke to Dr. Drew about what time he needed to be in the lobby of the hotel with the car picking us up at the airport, mm-hmm. at the event, at the college, at the news station. It has never crossed my lips. Why? Unnecessary.
He'll be there.
He's establishing himself. Then there are others who get a constant refrain of what, seriously, cannot be, no,
yeah.
I have to sing Big Bottoms at 7 straight up. And they're going to start without me. I've got to be at that event. Like,
I got you. Bottom of the hour.
There's then. I'm saying if people are speaking to you that way.
There's a reason.
There's a reason. So we'll see what happens with Fitzdog.
This
yes.
is totally random. Oh, okay. Oh. Let me just say this really fast. For the first time, I haven't eaten beef since I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And I took Andy for his birthday to Morton's. I ordered a filet mignon and ate it, and I fucking loved
nice.
It. I felt like I had the strength of 10 men, and I can't wait to do it again.
Good.
Yeah.
Screw you, Cass. Fitzdog. Not calling you, Cass.
Thank you.
Fitzdog is on and up with us. Greg Fitzsimmons. He's got shows coming up. Jonathan's in Maine is coming up August 11th. Manchester. New Hampshire. Woo! You're getting out there, man. Chunky's Cinema Pub. And then also Lowell, Arkansas.
Ooh.
The Grove. There's a couple of Lowells. I guess it's Massachusetts Lowell, where Mike Lynch is from. That's coming up September 16th, 17th. Fitzdog Radio is the podcast. Good to see you, Fitzdog.
Hey, guys. And, you know, it's really exciting to chime in from my office because I get so turned on by you, Adam, and I have no pants on. And let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's throw caution and possibly seam into the wind.
Yeah, we got Tubin over here.
Tubin. What's going on, Fitzdog? What are you working on? I know you're out doing dates. Are you writing? I mean, people don't or may not know. Fitzdog's been on a lot of writers' rooms, lots of sitcoms.
A lot of writers' rooms. I just did Punch Up on a movie, and now I've got a game show that I'm out pitching to the networks. It's based on the Guinness Book of World Records. Did you love the Guinness Book of World Records when you were a kid?
Every kid did.
I remember, like, my mom would give me like $50 to go to the book fair, and the first book was always Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow, $50!
That's crazy.
We had the Guinness Book of World Records. So it's like my family didn't spend much money, didn't have much money, didn't do many things, but they did realize that the Guinness Book of World Records, like, the best $11 they're ever going to spend, mm-hmm. because it was 7,000 pages thick.
Yeah.
It was it was like my Zenith TV set. It was deeper than it was wide. It was like, right. It's like one of the only books at 13 inches across, 41 deep. Just think, you know, we could probably do, and that book, the Guinness Book, was like, deeper than it was wide across.
Than the Leonard Maltin movie guide, where extremely thick.
So I could sit there and looking at black and white little postage stamp size pictures of a crab with an 8-foot arm or something and just bury my face in it.
48-inch fingernails.
Right. Don't you guys think that you could sort of mark our society by the width to depth ratio of the TV. So my son in his room has like a 65 inch TV that's an inch and a quarter deep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Think about the 65 versus inch and a quarter versus the 13, 29 inches deep. Like, think, yeah, just think the ratio. And then the kids that were doing better, they had a 27 inch Zenith in, was built into the console that was like 20 inches deep or 17 inches deep. Like, you can, and as we progress and as your life gets better, you know, Kimmel's got like a 200 inch TV that's 3 inches deep, like, dude, on his wall.
You got the phone, you pull down. It's barely a quarter of an inch thick.
Screen with a high def projector. Like, you can kind of mark it, right?
Yeah, I think it's a lot like the kids. You can tell a kid's how his family's doing, but the fish tank. If they've got the built into the wall aquarium that's got the bubbles
Sweet.
And the filter, and it's got different kinds of fish.
Oh yeah,
and then you got a bowl with gravel,
but
and one tetra fish.
It kind of keeps going because there's built into the wall. That family's crushing it. And I would also say used as a division where you kind of can walk around both sides of it.
That's like, the waiting room.
Yeah, that's the dining room.
Yeah, the library's over there, the mezzanine's to the left by the elevator. Like, you just walk past. Okay, so there's that. Then there is the tank that's just kind of sitting on a piece of furniture, and that's not doing as well. Then there's the fish bowl, but then there's also the dried up aquarium, the saddest tableau ever.
Terrarium.
Right?
Yeah. It smells.
Yeah, it smells.
It's caked with orange flecks on the glass that you can't get out.
It's got a green tint forever.
Gill.
Yeah, were like mice, hamsters, or rats popular when you were a kid?
It was
like
hamsters and gerbils.
Hamsters and gerbils.
For sure. And you put them in the little ball, they roll around the house?
Yes. Habitrail.
What?
The device was called a Habitrail.
Was it really?
All those clear tubes.
Yeah. Oh, that's the maze, right?
Yeah. Not, the ball was part of it. Or like it came with it. But the Habitrail.
Those were fun.
Was a weird. We never got, you know, I got a rat with a cage, but we didn't get the Habitrail. But the Habitrail was like clear PVC pipe with orange elbows, and you'd like snap it together. It's kind of weird. Did you have anything like that, Fitzdog?
No, but my I showed up for college freshman year, and my roommate, we called him Mooney, because he used to go outside and howl at the moon when he was on acid. He had a ferret, and the ferret was an alcoholic, it turns out, because we would put out bowls of beer, and he would drink the entire thing. And then he'd walk into walls, and he was an alcoholic.
Was his name Kodo or Podo from Beastmaster? Because those are the two most famous ferrets of all.
My thieves.
They're thieves, right? Yeah.
Wow.
People don't realize how gay Beastmaster was. Like, it was gayer than a lot of gay porn. Very gay.
A lot of rough trade outfits.
That was around the time of the second Mad Max, right? The Road Warrior?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Mad Max.
Yes.
Yes.
No, when he broke into the castle, the guards weren't, you know, like I said, there's the village people, and everyone had a job, you know, telephone guy and cop. Then one guy's job was just blowjobs. Like, I'm just a gay dude. Like, I'm just gay. Like, I got a leather hat, I got a big mustache, and I got
she sucks a lot.
They had, you know, the Indian chief and the cop and the fireman and the thing, and then one guy was like, I'm gay. And that in the Beastmaster, that's what the guards were.
Yeah.
They were just gay.
Right.
Chris will find a picture of those guys. I mean, they're wearing like leather dolphin S&M. Shorts. Yeah. And
I know, what's his backstory? Gay.
Gay. Yeah.
Yeah, the costume designer for the village people ran dry. The first four guys, they got lucky. They got solid Halloween costumes.
They all got to sign one. And they're like, the guy probably paused, like, what would an accountant dress like? Is there an outfit? Well, how about that visor that's tinted green?
Garter belt
it's gonna
on the
play. school custodian. Is that sexy?
Not really.
For a fetish, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. This should make him gay. I mean, come on. Someone's going to complain in the audience.
Gay doctor?
Yeah, but that's still just a long lab coat. Let's just make him gay.
Professionally.
Where are those guys, Chris? You're gonna laugh when you see
that guy had some mice. That Village People guy had some mice.
Look at this dude.
Okay, did I undersell?
You undersold it.
I undersold
because
it.
We didn't talk about the thigh high spiky dick boots. Whatever.
Damn.
That part is functional.
Okay.
What?
I love this movie.
Okay. Gina, describe what we're seeing as, right. as the guards at the castle.
From the top
for Beastmaster.
Down.
Beastmaster wasn't supposed to be a gay film. It was just supposed to be a movie about good-looking guys, got a Bengal tiger they spray-painted black, and like Poto and Toto, the ferret, and Kodo. And
Toto.
Kodo and Poto. Describe the guard.
So let's start from the feet. He's wearing a full... It goes beyond thigh high. It's groin high leather boots.
They're effectively chaps.
Yeah, they're spiky and they go right to the bottom of his dick tip.
The lead singer from Judas Priest told the guy to reel it in a little bit.
Too gay.
He has a bit much.
A lot of daylight then between the top of the thigh high and then the waist belt with a big leather like cod piece. And then there's nothing.
That's what you want from your tactical defense.
Yeah.
No organs protected.
Shirtless, greased up.
Oily. And then the hands, he's wearing these like fingerless leather spiky gloves.
That's actually pretty sweet.
And then a gimp mask.
Yeah. I mean, look, how much gayer? Does it get gayer? Is it possible?
The needle has pinged.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've hit the rev limiter on gay.
Wow. In front of a dungeon.
That's it. Okay. There's got to be some... there's got to be a story for Beastmaster. Yes.
I mean, look at the tan on the guy. That's what's weird is you picture him as more of a basement dweller.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But he's got a nice sheen to him. Yeah. He's got a nice tan.
So there's got to be some story because at some point you have the costumer put something together and the director or the writer of the studio's got to vet it.
Yeah.
And what didn't make the cut?
They got to look at this guy and go like,
what kind of movie do you think we're making?
You know what? If this guy just put a corn cob up his ass, it wouldn't be gayer than this. It would be equally gay.
As Patton Oswalt said, this is gayer than eight dudes blowing nine dudes.
That's right. So somebody had to go, oh, no, this is good. Like, nobody went, well, let's put him in a vest or see if we can get, like, something up top.
Yeah.
Sleeveless. How about, no, we're going full codpiece.
What about some chainmail? I mean, he's supposed to
oiled
protect the place.
Oiled up codpiece.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're going. I'd say look up the costumer, but definitely claimed by AIDS.
Oh, my God.
There's no way that person's alive. It's impossible. Something. There's some gay theme. There's some story. The director. There's some Beastmaster. Yeah. Something.
Look at IMDb trivia.
Yes.
I think the tan might be from a float. That guy spent some time on a float.
If you
the gay parade.
If you were like a 19-year-old male and you described the story of Beastmaster as a dream you had, the therapist by law would be obligated to tell you you were gay.
Yeah. You have to report that.
You'd have to write. According to the bylaws of this nation, he could be disbarred or disbanded or debunked.
Not doing his job.
All right. Sorry. Guinness Book of World Records. Where the hell were we?
The game.
So we're going to do a game show about it. And, you know, we'll see. I like game shows. I always have. I used to host a game show on MTV called Idiot Savants many years ago. And it was me and a giant brain. And we would ask people. We would get people, and of course, you could never have the title Idiot Savants anymore because it basically refers to people, no offense, Adam, that have Asperger's.
or
some type of spectrum meat.
Everyone's situation. On the spectrum of everything now, so I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that. And of course, I was a struggling comedian for many years. I did okay with women, but not great. I wasn't funny enough to really turn it into getting laid. And then all of a sudden I meet my wife and I fall in love with her the second I meet her. And I already tell her, I told her best friend I was going to marry her the night I met her. And of course, a week later, I get a job hosting a game show on MTV. And they're like flying me down to Panama Beach to do spring break live shows on the beach. Women are throwing themselves at me. I'm doing college tours. Women are I didn't act on it. Wow. And it was a mistake.
I agree. I had the same thing. I was on MTV. I had a show that would be up in every strip club, every bar. I'd walk into a bar in New York City, be 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, and that my show, they would put MTV, right. MTV on the bar. It was a de facto, to just turn the sound down, just put on MTV. You could Busy watch video. Billy yeah. Idol videos or whatever. It was so easy. MTV, yeah. I mean, Carson Daly, what he turned that job into from a poon standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, unchartable. Sure. Like, it can't be measured. Yes, that's what MTV used to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paulie Shore used to have, he had a Winnebago that he'd pull up outside the green room, and young women would line up to first blow his door guy to let them into the van for the pleasure of blowing Paulie next.
Wow.
Forever.
I feel like if that Winnebago was a rental, my family would be the next group to get it. And I'd be like, smells like the wheeze in here. Hey, bro. What is going on with Beastmaster? We have any updates? Gay updates? Something. So who wrote that? Claimed by AIDS. Who directed it? Something.
Don Coscarelli, Paul Pepperman.
Uh-huh. Killed in a quarrel with his boyfriend.
It was not only those guards who had the totally gay outfits. I mean, everyone
was gay.
Everybody was pretty much in a bikini.
Breaking news. I just clicked on Don Coscarelli's name for Wikipedia, and I went right to personal to see what it says. He is the writer-director of Beastmaster. Coscarelli frequently collaborates with his wife, costume designer Shelley Kay.
Aha!
So, like, are we talking old school fruit fly? Because I could come up with that outfit back in my day.
Yeah, you kind of wonder. Maybe they never had any kids.
Confirmed something.
Something.
Oh, well, they do have a vegan chef daughter. I don't know if that gets more confusing.
Could be adapted.
I think she's going to die falling down a set of stairs.
This is weird.
So Fitzdog, Guinness Book, sorry.
So that's it. I'm out. So the guy that created that show with me, Mike Dugan, he and I are out pitching it starting next week. And hopefully gets picked up. I like game shows. Like sitcoms, I mean, they're so lame. I don't want to be on a sitcom. I want to do a funny game show. Like just something that's weird and interesting and makes people tune in.
The thing about game shows now is you can get Joel McHale or Jamie Foxx or some cool names to host. Everyone wants to host game shows. And look, before the incident, you had Alec Baldwin doing Match Game, you go fucking Alec Baldwin. I mean, think of like who Alec Baldwin is, and then picture him hosting a game. And
by the way,
it's like literally like where your agent would go, you don't listen to me, you end up hosting a game show instead of doing real work, substantial work. But the answer to most Hollywood people, as much as they fucking rail about the man and money and they can't be bought, they just throw money at him. And it's also it's gang taping. That's the thing. You can do. They would do four Match Games in a day. And so now it comes into this thing, which is like, you drive into Manhattan once a week, you do one day's work, you get $1 million, is it $250 a show or whatever that number is, and all of a sudden the person shifts a little from artist to accountant because you start going. But then you do this thing where you go, they do a thing as an artist, you have to go, that'll give me more time for my poetry.
Sure.
That's right.
You know, it's after some kind of rationalization. You know, now I can.
Everybody thinks they're Steve Martin.
I can volunteer at the junior college because now that's never going to happen.
I'm a playwright. I'm an art collector.
But so now you can get these, you know, how do you get Jamie fucking Fox to host a whatever?
Like a Spotify.
You tell me
show.
Do four shows in a day. Yeah. You bang it out. There's a template to it. Mm-hmm. Light lifting for the host, like, you know, you just get up there, hit your mark, you know, hit the prompter, blah blah blah. You get four in a day, you get paid, you go home. That's how you get the big names.
Yeah, when we were shooting the first season of Idiot Savants, we were shooting by really shitty neighborhood by Penn Station, and my dressing room had no heat, and we were shooting four episodes a day. Plus, I was like writing on the show, so it was a lot of work. And after like halfway through shooting four episodes a day, 5 days a week, I came down with pneumonia. And so they sent me to MTV has these special doctors where if you're in production, they just they hit you with like three syringes, like some B12 and some steroids. And then I was back in my apartment and a PA shows up at my door, knocks on the door. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. They're probably bringing over some soup or something. And she just walks in and goes, how are you feeling? And I was like, I'm sick as shit. And she's like, okay. And I realized they were checking on me. They thought I was snowballing them. Wow. And so I came back. I missed like 4 days and I came back. And on my first day back, they're like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm all right. They're like, good, because now we got to shoot five a day. We're starting in 10 minutes. Let's go.
What years did that, or what year did you start that?
It was like 97.
And at full head of hair, Fitzsimmons, Fitzsimmons?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was lustrous. Well, here's the thing. I had the hair, got the wife, hair fell out, mission accomplished.
Right.
Didn't need it anymore.
It served its purpose.
It's like a booster rocket. It's like once you get through the atmosphere, the booster rocket falls off into the ocean.
The sea,
You don't need it.
No, it's true. And I was thinking about it the other day because anyone who's lived with a woman has experienced the, you know, walked into the bathroom and the hot curling iron was remained plugged in and hot. I guess they have a little light on them now, but not enough for a lot of ladies. Then the countless hours of the blowing of the hair, you know. So a couple thoughts. You know, we're constantly talking about, you know, the power grid and not using your appliances during peak hours and stuff like that. Women use a shitload more of power over the course of their lifetime, just as it pertains to their fucking hair, between the rollers and the hot roller and the hair dryers are big draw. There's certain things in life, like heating coils.
If you use a hair dryer with certain products, you'll blow a fuse, for sure.
Yes. It's a big draw. Many women use it on a daily basis or almost daily, you know, three times, five times a week or whatever. Fitzdog and Brian, fucking, what super resources are you using?
Nothing. Just buzz it. Buzz it today.
That's right.
And so little water. I waste so little water washing my hair.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Brian, do you use shampoo on the top of your head, or how do you clean the top of your head?
How dare you? Go to your fucking game show. No, man. I do a face wash that just goes all the way up because it's my face. Because I do an SPF every day.
You got it.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Speaking of water, I'm just getting a news alert right now. This is not funny. Las Vegas declares emergency with less than 50 days of clean water supply left.
Right.
So be real careful out there, everybody, in the next 2 months.
Yeah, well, let me say this to the politicians, because we have the same thing in California. It's like, we got wildfires, and we got drought, and, you know, we don't have water, and then we got the forest is burning. And then the politicians are like, see, I told you, climate change. I told you, it's fucking our shit up. It's like, okay, let's just agree on that. What the fuck are you doing about it? Like, the thing is like, hey, don't blame me. Blame your SUV. Yeah. It's like, well, okay, there's two things. New Orleans is below sea level. And we had a big storm, and the Army Corps of Engineers hadn't updated the seawalls and whatever. But when they're engineered and they're built and they're updated and they're sort of worthy of a, you know, hurricane, then it will remain dry, or it won't. It's up to the politicians to get those seawalls up there. Like, okay, we're in a drought, we're in a desert, climate change is bad. Where's our desalination plant that gets all the water from the ocean, and then we have that? It's like, okay, I'm with you. We're heating up. There's climate change. The forests are on fire. Vegas is out of water. Well, what's the plan?
Anyway.
Now we have to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas has air conditioning, so they can live there.
Right.
There's technology shall remedy a lot of problems.
And I just heard on the news today that, you know, St. Louis is a deluge of flooding right now. People are dying. You know, cars being swept away, houses being swept away in St. Louis. And they asked the guy, and I thought you'd respect this, because they go, well, is there anything that can be done about this? And the guy goes, yeah, bigger pipes.
Yeah, you can plan for it. Things can work. I mean, if you just get it, if you just sort of get it from, you know, macro to micro, you can go, well, there's a huge rainstorm. All right. We live in a place with no roof. All right. Well, then you're going to get wet. Or we live in a place with a flat roof that has not properly sealed. All right. Well, then you're going to get drips. Or we live in a place with a pitch roof with a state-of-the-art metal roof that's good for 100 years. Okay, well, then you get no water.
Right.
It's the same fucking event. One is, what did you do about it? And the other is, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we got Tony Dowd again.
Oh, no.
Update.
What a rollercoaster.
Leave it to Beaver.
It says,
he's Wally.
Yeah, he was dead, and then he wasn't, and then unfortunately he was again. Clarification, Las Vegas, New Mexico declares emergency. Did we know there was Las Vegas,
no,
New Mexico?
You can't do that.
Happening on the phone right now.
Dr. Drew.
But Las Vegas is also flooded right now.
Oh, I'm sure they're fucked.
Can we? All right. Well, this will bring me to my game show, Fitzdog.
Yeah.
And I think, look, obviously, you'll have to go in and pitch it without me, because you're still in the good graces of the folks in Hollywood that are hearing these pitches. You know, they don't really know what you really think, you know, so you can get those meetings. My promise, I say.
Come on here. There's a lot of stink on me, Adam.
You're right. Well, we can hose you down before you go into Apple or Netflix. But here's my game show. I would watch the shit out of this. We just had Cato Kaelin in here doing his hockey fight.
Yeah, Ice Wars.
League, Ice Wars. Funny, cool, interesting. All right. It comes up all the time. There's a, you know, a Vegas, New Mexico, and a Las Vegas, Nevada. Dr. Drew and I almost got into a fist fight on an airplane once because we were talking about Rochester, Minnesota, and he was talking about Rochester, New York, and I was like, he had Minnesota in his head, I had New York in my head, and I was like, what do you mean it's closer to L.A. than blah, blah, blah? I'm like, Rochester, you idiot. We just kept wound back because there's two of them or more, and there's
Springfield in every state.
Yeah, Springfield, there's a
Portland, Maine.
Okay.
Portland, Oregon.
It's inherently confusing. Somebody needs to own. And the other one needs to fucking change their name. Mm-hmm. And the two toughest dudes from that area. I got to see your birth certificate. You need to be born in Rochester, Minnesota.
The city limits.
And then let's get in the cage.
I like that.
Let's see who keeps the name. Now, to up the ante, the other name that you switch to is going to have to be like Taintville or Schittsburg or something. You got to have an insulting name.
Yeah, the winner gets to pick.
The winner gets to pick the shit name that the other, and then once a year we can go back and fight it out again and see if we can get your name back. It's train, man.
Interesting.
Start training.
I
like that.
So let's claim. Claim the name.
Ooh.
They come in there. You know, we do it with the dress. You know, maybe the New York guy's wearing a wife beater.
Okay.
And maybe the Minnesota guy's wearing mucklucks. It's only into the ring. You know what I mean?
Right.
With some of the food maybe that you're known for. You know, I'm just spitballing
here.
Do
we go international? Because there is a Paris, Texas.
Yes. Yes. And then obviously there's gambling. You think, you know, do you think the Texas-born fighter would probably beat the Parisian? Yeah. But you don't know.
Right.
Know.
Give
you Andre the Giant was from France. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. One of the greatest MMA fighters of all time is from France. What's his name? And then I live in Venice. We go against. On my weather app on my phone, I punched in Venice, and I was walking around one day with an umbrella. And my friend was like, "What the fuck are you doing with an umbrella?" I go, "It's supposed to rain later." He's like, "What are you, some kind of an asshole? It's July in California. It never." I realized I had Venice, Italy.
That's
on
amazing.
My weather app.
All right, hold tight. Let me hit a spot, and then we'll roll in. Cyril Gane, is he the Frenchman who Fitz Dog is
nope.
The heavyweight? There's a few of them. I think. Isn't Spider? Oh, no. Is Spider? Oh,
Anderson
God.
Anderson Silva?
The black guy?
Yeah, Anderson Silva. Silva, is
Anderson
it?
Anderson Silva now.
We'll figure it out. First, let me tell you about K12.com. Want more control over your child's education? Check out today's sponsor, K12.com. Tuition-free online school that fits your life. Personalize your child's education. Let them know their way and let them learn their way at their pace using tech for their generation. Learning is flexible, interactive, and fun. K12.com/podcast. You can explore curriculum and see success stories from some of the 2 million plus families that are using K-12. Classes are taught by passionate state certified teachers, and your child can develop social skills with field trips, clubs, and activities. K-12 has helped families take control of their child's education for 20 years plus, and you can too. Take charge today at K12.com/podcast. And yeah, when the next pandemic hits and they close the school, you'll be way ahead of the game. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with news and Fitz Dog right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, you know how I hate the phrase breaking their silence, but finally we got a real one. Will Smith breaking his silence.
This counts.
Yeah, talking about slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars after staying mum on the topic for a while now. He uploaded this very emotional video to YouTube to discuss what he did, to apologize to Rock. Smith says he has reached out to Chris to apologize. He wants to talk whenever Chris is willing. The slap earned, as you know, Smith a 10-year ban from attending the Oscars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which might be as long as he needs to repair his image because people are a little sketched out. The video is long. It's like 6 minutes. He apologizes to Chris's family, mostly his mom, and also to Tony Rock, who I guess he's friends with. But let's just get to who's the real victim here. Here's a clip of Will talking about the effect this has had on him.
I am deeply remorseful, and I'm trying to be remorseful without being ashamed of myself.
Put it on pause.
Right? I'm human.
This is well thought out. This is scripted. This is framed. Why the white light over the
Why the white light behind his head? He's trying to be a saint.
Yeah.
That's right. He's saintly.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I agree, too. When it was paused, I couldn't tell if he was dyed his hair or he's wearing something. And yes, he's wearing a white hat and he's standing in front of sitting in front of an orb that's behind him. And it's giving him a weird extra helmet glow. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Be remorseful without being ashamed of myself.
You can be ashamed.
I'm human. And I made a mistake.
Hold on a second. And it's the Francis Ngannou. Sorry, look for the MMA fighter. All right, here's the point.
George St. Pierre. He's George French Saint-Pierre. Canadian.
All right, here's the whole point. First off, I'm human. Mm-hmm. Let's remove that from the equation. We're all humans.
That and I can't turn back time.
Tex Watson was a human.
Yeah, true.
You know,
we're
like
all starting at a base.
Hitler, human. Sure. Like everyone who committed an atrocity or killed another human being.
All of the human species.
The guy who threw a sack a large sack of gold medal flour into my patent fan when I was in high school, which was on high at time, and threw it in my room, creating a dust cloud of flour. That person was a human.
Right.
We're all humans.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I don't like apologies that let people off, where you're letting yourself off the hook.
Oh, no.
From Jump Street, right? Like, I'm a human. And also, don't you guys find it, whether it's Will or any politician or anyone, isn't it like so fucked out? Like, I'm a human. I'm only human. We humans make mistakes. Like, yes.
Now you're teaching us. You're lecturing us.
That's what we do. Yeah. But this is specific. You hit somebody, yeah, and now we want to hear about that. We don't need the part. Also, by implication, when they do that thing where they go, we're all humans. This could have been any of, you know, now we're in.
You've been drawn into your.
Right.
Okay. So every stepdad that fucks his 8-year-old daughter is a human, and we're all humans.
Who among us?
Who among us? Okay. That's nice. Well, just jump in the same hamper as you. Yeah. All right. That's awesome.
And remember, he said, maybe back it up a little. Let's focus on what he said about being ashamed.
He doesn't want it.
He doesn't. Go ahead.
He doesn't want to be ashamed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And I'm trying to be remorseful without being ashamed of myself.
Be ashamed.
Mm. Right? Go ahead.
I'm human.
Uh-huh.
And I made a mistake, and I'm trying not to think of myself as a piece of shit.
What? I don't get why. Just go. Wow. You fucked up. You miscalculated, or you got caught up in the moment. You did wrong, and then you don't have to. And then here's the other problem, too. You ever have, like, a person where it's like they're delivering the bad news, but they take it harder than you.
Yeah,
and then go like, look, Gina, I got to break up with you because your pussy stinks. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, don't cry. I feel really sad.
It's so vile.
Come here. You need a hug?
I'm too close to your pussy now.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
I love your souffles. I can't get by that. I'm such a bad person.
There.
Who would break up with someone just because I had a hygiene issue, even if it was horrible?
Easily fixable.
Oh, okay.
You had a super correctable hygiene problem, and I'm just such a mess, and my mom had a stinky pussy, and I guess
dear.
I think of her. Let's not make it about me.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. He's already made it about him. He made it about himself already.
Yeah,
right?
And more so, part of what he said was, and this is a new phrase for me, because, you know, we're always introducing these therapy terms into the lexicon. Disappointing people is my central trauma.
Huh?
Whatever that means. A therapist told him that he's one of those people that disappointing people is his central trauma. And so now he's been working on that. I hate it when I let people down. So it hurts. It hurts me psychologically. So, like you said, making it about you. Psychologically and emotionally, to know I didn't live up to people's image and impression of me.
Can I say this? Maybe let's see if we can agree on this concept. First off, Jada
Pinkett Smith,
they need to be removed from each other.
Yeah, it seems like it.
They're like Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain. Like, hey, you want to slam some drugs? Yeah. Want to wait till noon? No.
No.
Let's do it now.
I like the way you think.
You need a fucking person that goes, hey, man, you got a problem. Like, no, we're not. We're going to take a hike. You know what I mean?
Not spending a lot of time on your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jada.
That's right.
And that's the funny thing, too, is now it's come out. You know, the story's kind of over, so who cares? But all these, like, hair, you know, beautician hairstylists are coming out going, she has traction alopecia, which is not the same as regular alopecia.
There's different
traction
kinds?
Alopecia means you've put in so many. You know, you've messed with your hair so much and you've pulled it tight with wigs and with glue, their hair just gets damaged and falls out.
I got that with my pubes.
Right.
Yeah. Fucking Merkin all through the 90s.
When we saw that Instagram
video.
I know,
I bleached my asshole so many times that I literally don't think I can grow hair back there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. When we saw that Instagram video of her being like, don't you think we need counseling? And Will Smith is like, I think you need to stop recording me without my permission. He looked like an abuse victim.
What I'm saying is this. She's there and he's movable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you need somebody if you're, you know, I'm not as movable. I'm set in my ways. you'd have a hard time.
Isn't that code for racist?
Yes. You could give me my girlfriend, my daughter, my whomever could give me all the wooden bead bracelets in the world. I would never wear one. I would just go, I'm not wearing this. Mm-hmm. And then they go, but I made it for you. And I go, sweet. It'll hang out in my, my drawer with all the other beautiful things you made me. But a lot of guys, the number one answer for guys wearing those round wooden bead bracelets is my daughter gave it to me. Yeah. All right. Let's just give you a traffic cone. Tell you to wear it on your head. Would you do it? But all right. I'm not malleable.
That being said, Brian, when she starts making friendship bracelets, I want to see them on you.
He is malleable, yeah. And she's nuts. And he needs to be with some chick. He needs a Canadian. He's a chick. That's just some fucking chick that's like, we're going fucking playing Ultimate Frisbee today. All right. Fishing. Booked us or whatever. Yeah. We're going out. Yeah. It's snowing. We're going to Mountain High. We're going to fucking make a, like, they're locked up and talking too much. And then there's this thing where everyone is over diagnosing themselves. So they go, my truth and my feeling is my healing, part of my healing. Like, you'd never stop talking about your healing and your truth and your psyche and then how damaged you are. And then, at a certain point, like too much therapy, too many self-help books. Mm-hmm. At a certain fucking point, you need to just put some fucking earbuds in, crank up the Aerosmith, and go for a fucking hike. Yeah. Like, you just need to go do shit.
Agreed.
Or you sit home and eat yourselves. And if you want to know why the people that work all day are the sanest, it's because they're just busy. They're just like on their feet. They're occupied. They're doing whatever. They're making their appointed rounds. Like, they don't get into their own truth.
Yeah.
We're starting to sort of drown in our own head.
Yeah.
And I think he's that way.
Yeah.
So, I think you've really self-actualized in your journey there, Adam.
Wow. Thank you, Gregory.
Yeah. I think the key is that you've allowed yourself to live more in the moment and to let go. Yeah. Let go of a lot of the codependence.
Yeah. Mm.
So congratulations.
That's right.
If he reads Michelle Obama's next book, that'll be it for Will Smith. Yeah. She's just talking about being and becoming and the light. And everyone's got a light in them. And you have to expose the light to others. This is an insane time we're living in.
We got to keep them apart, like the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper and Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Obama and Will Smith, because that's the end.
Yeah.
He needs, I'm trying to think, who do we need to hook him up with? You know, Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas.
Famous African-American actress, Charlize Theron.
That's true. You're right. Yeah. She's
cool.
No, but she's said, now, on the plus, she's adopted black kids. On the minus, she's one of those fuckhead blowhard celebrities who goes, there are places in America I wouldn't bring my kids. Name the cities, bitch.
Oh,
name the cities where your black kids are in trouble versus black on black crime.
You're going to have a hard time.
Well, being killed by black people, yes, that would be statistically true, blowhard.
You're going to have a hard time finding a celebrity that's an actress or someone of that nature. I'm going to go with Brittany Griner. When she gets back,
she's interested, but I hear you.
She might have to rehab her image.
I say Gal Gadot, you like a feisty
Israeli. Yeah,
yeah. I think
she'd straighten his shit out. She'd take him like to the range and they'd shoot pistols and stuff like that. Like, he needs to take one of those mini cruises where they show a classic movie and just go around the harbor. You know, he needs to get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pitstock, who should we pair him up with?
I like Madonna. I see what she's done with a lot of men. You know, Dennis Rodman, he went through a profound change while dating Madonna.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, she'll knock the sanity right into a guy.
Yep.
I agree. Mm.
Well, let's talk about another beloved to many guy that's speaking out, Jon Stewart. He is still very much, he has not forgotten this cause of these military burn pits. And this bill to get these veterans, help and healthcare after dealing with this, he blew up after Republicans blocked the bill to provide health care for veterans exposed to these pits. Stewart's really outspoken. He's an advocate for military vets. We've been talking about this for a while. Here's a clip of him from a press conference where he specifically calls out Senator Pat Toomey after being after a vet interjects with his thoughts. So he's up there, you know, with the microphones, and then you'll hear this guy off mic and the camera widen up, and it's a guy in a wheelchair with a sign who's very upset, and John will sort of take it from there.
They're tortoises. They live forever, and they never lose their jobs, and they never lose their benefits, and they never lose all those things. Well, they're not on Senate time. They're on human time, cancer time. Don't you have families? Don't
we might have a time code issue, but the guy on the side, you can turn down. The guy says, you know, we need things so we don't commit suicide and we don't whatever. And John Stewart basically says, because Toomey is a fucking coward. He's a fucking coward.
Why would anyone be against this?
This is totally off the top of my head. We generally find that these are, you know, what did they sneak in that we don't like? But I don't know.
Because it's just like helping veterans because these burn pits, you know, they would dig. You got to really think about logistics of going to war. You know, it's all, we think of it as all like airplanes and cannons and stuff like that. But you have to build cities in the middle of the desert with no infrastructure. And think how much waste you're creating, you know, just by taking thousands of men and putting them in the middle of a place. So there's no, you know, the modern cities have, you know, plumbing and sewage and rendering, you know, plants that clean the sewage and all that. They got nothing. So they just dig huge pits, put Jet A fuel in there and just burn everything. Yep. And then the guys... obviously, the burn pits aren't far enough away from where the people are living, and the wind changes, and now they're sucking up all that stuff, and now they're getting all kinds of horrible diseases from that.
And who could be against John Stewart? I mean, he said, like, these are veterans. So who's the asshole villain that's saying no?
I don't know. I don't know. But there's usually something, but I don't know. Chris can look. After we get to the bottom of the Beastmaster thing.
That's what's important right now.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Sesame Place, shall we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rosita or something.
Rosita. They are, in fact, being hit with a big old class action suit to the tune of $25 million, claiming that the park and its employees have insulted and damaged black patrons, especially the young ones. The lawsuit lists a man named Quentin Burns. He's one of them. He and his family visited Sesame Place on June 18th. Burns says he purchased tickets to the park to do the meet and greets with the characters. However, according to the docs, Burns says he and his kids attended the meet and greet with costume performers Elmo, Ernie, Telly Monster, and Abby Cadabby, and the characters refused to engage with them and other black guests. Burns says the performers were more than happy to engage with the white customers at the same event. And we saw clips of these sort of random weird examples of that. Here's a clip of the lawyer listing their demands.
Is this Crump? Oh, no, that's another lawyer.
And we also have a message to SeaWorld. Compensate this family. Compensate the families that you have aggrieved.
I like the tie.
Give us all the information on complaints that you have received from families and work with us to uphold the civil rights of black people all over this country. We have demanded compensatory damages, punitive damages, as well as declaratory and injunctive relief in our class action lawsuit. And we see fit to move forward with a jury trial in this matter in the federal district courts here in Philadelphia.
A jury trial.
All right. These fucking race hustlers. They're so fucking sick. Crump, the guy's the worst. That's not Crump. I always like it when the lawyers get up there and they go, here's what we want. You want money. Fine. Huh. That's what you want. But don't give the thing like, we didn't ask for this. These kids are traumatized because now they're in the spotlight. It's like, yeah, because you're having a fucking press conference, grifter.
Well, and the little girl's standing next to him.
We could have could have dodged this bullet.
Well, and if there's some weird shit going on at Sesame Place, like, by all means, correct it.
Well, I will say this. It is impossible. So if we are on a racist hunt, like which we are in this country, there's no doubt news outlets, people, we're just on a hunt to find racism. If we find Bubba Wallace's
noose
hanging from his pit garage. That was a whole FBI investigation. We got the fucking border guys beating the Haitians and all the fight. If we're not on a fucking hunt for it, then why are we talking about it so much? You don't know shit about what went on in the border. You got a couple guys on horses. You got Haitians. You got the guys mounted goats doing things. Why is everyone grabbing a microphone from the president to the vice president to everyone else grabbing a microphone and yelling, this is a heinous act. It can't be tolerated. If you're not on the hunt for it, then why are you talking? Go look into it. Talk to the fucking photographer that took the pictures. We're on a hunt for it. Fine. You're ruining the nation. You're hurting the nation. Okay, you get more votes by fooling black people. Fine. But you're ruining the fucking nation. You're killing people. But all right. You'll give up a few people. And the notion that will convince every young black man there's a target on his back. I get what you're doing. You're a politician. You're trying to get votes. You're a fucking grifter attorney. You're trying to get paid. Fine. But we're on the hunt for it. Now, this amusement park, if the criteria for racism is we have pictures of guys who have no peripheral vision, who are overheating, walking past black kids and high-fiving, you could also provide 7,000 hours of them doing a high-five of the black kid and walking past a white kid. This is not, it's going to be difficult to prove, but we love it so much and we're on such a hunt for it. We have such a weird, macabre appetite for racism that we're going to go along with it.
My favorite example in the history of examples is the exercise park. Was it San Francisco?
Yes.
Where they were putting, they said, no investigation needed. I'm a black guy and I just wanted to exercise.
Well, that's the other thing too. It's the mayor of Oakland.
And it looked like.
Still moved ahead yes. with her wanting to know if those exercise hoops that were placed there by a black man were nooses or not. So they're still moving ahead. The horseback-mounted Border Patrol guys who never hit any Haitians with their reins, they're still – they've been cleared of that, but they're looking for other stuff. They're going to do administrative stuff. So you're just going to will yourself right? So you come out and call these guys who work for our government racist, and then it turns out you're wrong. So instead of apologizing, you go, oh, they fucked up with some of their time cards. We're going to bust them. We're going to bust them so we're right.
No.
That's a fucking scary government right there. Just fucking eat it, loudmouth. You called guys. You know who fucking stopped the Vivaldi shooting? Border Patrol. They finally showed up and fucking killed that guy who was in that classroom. All the other local cops were huddled in the hall getting hand sanitizer. Border Patrol guys. You got guys on horses trying to guard our border and you're calling them racist. But there's no agenda. You have no other thoughts. This is just what you see. But you all see the same thing, but it didn't happen. And then you clear them, but you still got to get them in trouble. Because you've got to be,
this
because you can't apologize.
Yeah.
You can't come back. All right. I fucking hope those guys sue the fuck out of you, by the way. And I'm not litigious, but I like everyone suing everyone who's being called everything on CNN and everything else. Anyway. All right. More racism. 2022. Here we go. Jesus Christ.
Greg, thoughts?
I went to this Sesame Street place and the grouch fucking stole my bike. He took a shit on my bag.
Oh, my God.
So, and I'm white. So.
You got to join the suit.
Yeah. I mean, that
I think
could have
we
got to
investigate the Sesame Street place.
Is this the Sesame Street
place? It's
called
place? Sesame Place. It's their amusement park, whatever.
All right.
By the way, did you guys see the trailer for Till, the Emmett Till story?
Oh.
That's going to go up there in my Boys Don't Cry category of movies I don't need to see.
It's already 107% on Rotten Tomatoes. If that thing is not in the high 90s,
it's going to be a crime.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not the one that needs to change. I can't see it. It's too horrible.
Yeah.
I've never seen Boys Don't Cry. I'm not the one you need to convince.
No, I agree.
Let's talk about something horrific happening in Japan. You know, people make jokes about, like, I didn't have monkeypox on my bingo card. Well, now there's a troop of monkeys in the city of Yamaguchi that's been attacking humans for no reason. They're not even looking for food. They're going after the elderly. And they're even trying to sneak into nurseries and snatch babies. They're
Fitz
monkeys.
Fitz dog.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think of this hypothesis.
Yeah.
I have said... Jeff Bezos, getting to outer space. Elon Musk, outer space. Richard Branson, outer space. The three richest, smartest guys on the planet are feverishly trying to figure out how to get the fuck off the planet. They're relentless.
They know what's up.
They're relentless. They know something. Monkeys are attacking tourists. The fucking Ukraine's on fire. We got
hate
crimes going down Sesame Street.
Las Vegas out of water.
They know something.
Cafe is flooded.
Yeah.
You don't think they know things? You don't think they have access to information that we don't get from the USA Today?
This is very Don't Look Up.
They know shit. They know
Everybody's
stuff.
Everybody's trying to get out. I was just reading this article about Mexico City and how many Americans have gone to Mexico City because they can get cheap apartments there.
Yes.
And fucking the Mexicans are like, get the fuck out of our country.
Build that wall.
Yes.
Build that fucking wall. And the same thing, you go to Costa Rica, you go to Australia, like Americans are annoying everybody because we're getting scared to get out.
And we're getting out of the United States, and Mexico's pissed, but turnabout's fair play, bitch.
Yep.
Number one. Number two. And by the way, we keep going. Where's our fucking Alvera Street? Where's Honky Avenue over there? Come on now.
That's right.
Kid Rock's got a bar.
Where's our Sesame Street?
So it's on.
Yeah.
It is nigh. The apocalypse is nigh.
You heard it.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Disappointing people is my central trauma.
Gina Grad.
It's also true.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well,
Fitz Dog's got a podcast called Fitz Dog Radio. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. And then Sunday Papers as well, hosted by him and Gibby, Mike Gibson. Also, shoot him a tweet at Greg Fitz Show. And can we go to a website to find out live dates? We got Jonathan.
Fitzdog.com.
Fitzdog.com. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Salt Lake City, Utah. Wise Guys. Me doing comedy there and a podcast there, August 26th, 27th. And the new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Check it out. It is very funny. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Fitz Dog and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo. Gina, I got to break up with you because your pussy stinks. I'm so sorry.
Pick up Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. The audiobook comes out tomorrow. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see Adam Carolla at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.